Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, another coronavirus day. Chuck and Julie, Truth Straight Up, brought to you by our favorite Colorado Citizen Press, right, Julie?
Yep, ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, a great site to check. I check it every day. They bring you the truth straight up as well, also by Synergetics, and we'll have more on them at the bottom of the hour. Want to remind folks, you can listen to us on Zoom. Love to have you on Zoom. The Zoom meeting number is 209-576-423. That never changes. So you can go there. You can listen. If you want to chime in, you can just unmute yourself and pop in. We'd love to have people do that. Also, you can call in 888-627-6008. Love to have callers. And you can catch all of our podcasts. If you miss something, just go to chuckandjulie.com. And also the BBS links that we're on. We're everywhere. iHeart. Everywhere.
You cannot escape us, even if you want to.
So there is so much to be angry today. I don't even really know where to start.
It always starts in the same place, which is coronavirus, which has turned into, I think, a legitimate health concern based on inflated estimates by the Imperial College and Fauci and others, to an outright scam.
Right.
It's an outright scam.
You were hesitant. I've been calling it a hoax in the beginning.
Well, it wasn't a hoax in the beginning. You were wrong, but it has turned into a scam. I mean, you know, what they're doing in Colorado is a scam. What the governor's doing with Tri-County Health.
All of it. And we'll help
defund Tri-County Health. That should be our word. I mean, those guys
are
crooked.
And how a 5-4 – well, we'll get into that in a minute. I'm getting all angry. Michael Tao, our investigative columnist, has a great column up in Red State, basically talking about how the media is burying and falsifying COVID-19 information to create another panic. One of the things that we're hoping will be joined here by our live reporter at the Jefferson County Courthouse, Chris Doty. We started talking about this earlier this week, and it's gotten worse. On the July 4th, families and
horrible families
gathered to celebrate the 4th of July, right, at Bandimere Speedway. And the Jefferson County Health Department is trying to shut them down. Jefferson County Health Department is saying, oh, they didn't follow the rules. They're all in court right now. Great grassroots attorney Randy Corcoran, who's just been outstanding during this whole thing, fighting for businesses, is there right now. This is what the way I understand the situation is this. So Bandimere wanted to reopen for business. The Tri-County Health Department, not the Tri-County, the Jefferson County Health Department issued all kinds of rules and regulations, right? They had social distancing. They had set up special, outhouses, porta potties, things like that. All they could do to have people social distance, they did not have a packed house, but it was confusing. Jefferson County said, well, you can have 175 people per event. Well, the trouble is there are, from what I understand, dozens of events, right? So what does that mean, really? And so the health department, without being there, by the way, but just as upon information and belief, by looking at pictures on social media, decided they violated those rules and are in court right now trying to shut them down, suspended their liquor license too. They are arguing.
The only hope they have is the fact that the judge, Tamara Russell, is an Owens appointment and not one of the more recent Democratic appointments. Given her preliminary injunction or temporary restraining order, that doesn't look too good. But
no.
But at least it's not a far lefty that's hearing the case.
But from what I understand, one of the TV stations, and my friend, I'll say, Lance Hernandez at Channel 7, talked to John Bandimere out there, who was there. There were a great bunch of patriots at the courthouse today with Randy, with Bandimere. And so we've been kind of getting reports all morning and early this afternoon on what's going on. But Lance was tweeting that John Bandimere said, if they limit us to 175 people per event, whatever that means, if they prohibit us from having a liquor license, we can't afford to operate. We will have, not only would we have to close for the event. They have a bunch of events going on this weekend. We're going to have to close for good. Now, just think about the ripple effects here. There are all kinds of groups and organizations that hold their events at Bandimere, right? I mean, they're community friendly. They're community supporters. So it's not just Bandimere. It's all of these other places. They have nowhere to go.
Well, right? You know, we just heard that one of our places that we love to go to with Peter Boyle's Fresh Fish Company is closing because they can't for good. The landlord won't limit the rent, and they've destroyed more businesses. And when are people going to have enough? When are we going to finally say to these Tri-County Health Departments and the Jefferson County Health Department, you know, we're not here for you to destroy us.
No, and Sandra is saying she's with me. She thought it was a hoax from the beginning.
Oh, okay. Very good. But it's when are people going to rise up and say, we're just not going to take it anymore?
Well, and here's the thing.
And I have a feeling they're not, because, you know, how long was the Russian Empire under the Romanovs? How long was the Bourbons in charge of France? I mean, I guess people are natural slaves, and it's coming out.
You know, I don't want to say disagree because I kind of agree, but here's what we're faced with. So if we saw what they did, the health departments did to the couple in Castle Rock that went ahead and opened the winery anyway. Right. Jared Polis, because he's extended the emergency declaration for another forever, basically, right? Just took away their license, right? But they got it back. But that's what happened to them.
Yes.
And if they had and if you're Bandimere, right? What if you say if you're the business, well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to be open anyway, right?
Now they're in court and everything else with the whole system against us. Defund the police. Let's start defunding all these
health
departments and all these other groups that defund the teacher unions who don't want to go back to school.
That's a whole lot. We'll get into
that. But look at Colorado. I follow Worldometer, which is one of those that you can follow. At least not the New York Times. And they haven't reported in Colorado in 7 days. And I assume it is.
Here's what I saw on a website today.
Yeah.
So on July 3rd, zero.
Zero, right.
Zero COVID deaths. Or COVID related, right? I mean,
right.
No, this is even with the stacked figures.
Right.
They couldn't even find rigged deaths that they could have viewed. Zero on July 3rd. Zero on July 4th. Zero on July 5th. Now, maybe that's a reported thing. And then five yesterday. So out of all of Colorado, and I did some research earlier, 103 people a day die in Colorado anyway, just of everything, right? So if all of the people dying, five died of coronavirus, and we have to, and you know that they were, the information and the evidence is overwhelming really right now, that people pretty much over or under 70, under 80 really, are not very much risk at all. It's, and children are not at risk, almost 0%. So,
but let's keep them at home.
But I want to go back to the Bandimere thing. And like we talked about the Fresh Fish Company. So what you have here.
So Colorado's another day. They haven't moved from 1701. So I'm not sure why they're not. I know why they're not, because our beloved city government here, can't we defund them too in Westminster? They said, you know, July 10th, we're going to have everybody be free from some of the more of the restrictions. One of those, you could go out in a lake in a paddle boat.
Right.
No. No going out in a boat in a paddle boat. Now, what is the likelihood you're going to get coronavirus being in a paddle boat out in the lake? I'm just about zero.
It's a big,
But Colorado, if you look at the little maps, is pretty low on cases and everything else. But now, due to the enormous spike, what spike?
There is no
spike. What are you talking about?
And here's the thing. We're going to talk with Moika Talmor, so I don't want to get too much in that. But what they're doing, it's kind of like when you boil, we talked about this the other day, a boil a frog in water, right? It starts out fine. You turn the heat up slowly.
Well, we're noticing the heat.
Well, people are exactly noticing the heat.
This has gotten obscene. What Julie earlier today said, I gotta not think about this.
I
get mad. And after a while, I was out driving.
Oh, no.
Driving, I was going, and I go, no, wait a minute, I just got to think about something else. I mean, anything else. Checkers, second century Christian beliefs. I mean, anything but this. And
if you guys, if people on Zoom want to weigh in, go ahead and unmute yourself, and you can, if you want to call in while we're waiting for Chris to check in. 888-627-6008. This is my prediction, though. What they want to do, and they, I think, these are the Dems and the progressives, and I think, unfortunately, too many cowardly politicians, who, by the way, are all still getting paid, right? Haven't missed a day of pay throughout this whole thing. Their insurance is still there, their health coverage, their pension, all of that, just hunky-dory, while all around us, businesses are closing. And the ones that
they don't
closing,
care. They literally... Do not care. I mean, New York schools, I mean, they've opened all the schools for the fall in Germany. and throughout Europe, but we can't in the United States. Why? And we all know why, because I think the havoc of it makes Trump less likely to win.
That's right.
It's sickening to watch. And the Republicans are just, Mitch McConnell just the other day put $2 million so he could make sure a Chamber of Commerce person beat Kris Kobach in the Republican primary. I'm so sick of him. I'm sick of the National Party. I'm sick of all of the phony conservatives in the Republican Party here in Colorado. It's just, where do we, the only guy we have is Trump. He's crazy, but at least he cares.
Yeah. And you've got each other, right?
We got each other. So
that's stand strong. And you got
let's go burn down a Wendy's.
And that's the thing. I said, if these people at Vandermeer had gone in there and they had spray painted all over the place and vandalized it and tore it down and even maybe shot people, right? That would all be good. There would be no problem with that. The Jefferson County Health Department would say, hey, that's fine because that matters more, right?
Right,
but,
right.
But John Vandermeer, a company that's been, it's 1958, this place has been in business, providing jobs, providing entertainment, contributing to the economy, all of the good things that you think we want to do, right, as a society, and they want to shut them down for absolutely zero reason. There is no risk of anyone dropping dead of COVID-19 at Vandermeer Speedway, right? It's just ridiculous. And the rules, this is my prediction on what they're going to do because they're cowards, right? They're not going to go ahead.
Sandra agrees with me on the Romney Republicans.
There we go. We love Sandra. Sandra's splitting her bets here.
Yeah, though, too. We forgive her for backing Julian.
But the thing is my guess is what they're going to do is they're going to put in such ridiculous regulations for Vandermeer, right, that they can't afford to operate.
Well, they don't know. They have the you think that anyone at Jefferson can have the slightest idea about the business model for Vandermeer, knows anything about business. I mean, they went and got a public health degree at Colorado Southern University, and they don't know this. Well, you can have two people standing here, you have three people standing here, you can do that, because that's what you do when you make up rules you know nothing about.
Right.
You just make them up because you don't really have any choice. But we're so sick of these people.
Well, and they might as well just acknowledge you're making it up. I mean, so here's the thing. So when you have John Vandermeer, and from what I understand, most of the morning was taken up with the health department guy explaining the regulation. Now, we've talked with Randy Corcoran, who said, it's just what you said. The health department has zero idea, zero comprehension of what things are like. And they weren't even there to catch what they call violations anyway. They don't understand what's going on. So they issue these regulations, 175, it seats 23,000. So 175 people per event. Randy said they tried to get some direction from them. What do you mean by per event? We have all kinds of different events in different locations, right? And they said, well, we don't know. And apparently the judge even said it doesn't make sense. But that didn't stop them from going ahead and citing them from violating it. Now, they didn't cite anybody they didn't cite Tay Anderson for organizing any of the Black Lives Matter protests. They haven't cited any of the people who showed up to protest Elijah McClain. They haven't cited any of those organizers. They haven't told any of them, you have to shut down. Instead, it's essentially an all-American businessman who said a prayer, good God, on the way into the courthouse today. I mean, it's these people and it's us that they're trying to shut down. And it's, you're right, Chuck. I mean, if you're Vandermeer, what do you do? Right? Because you know, no offense to lawyers here, but as soon as he opens up and somebody gets COVID-19, then they sue him and he loses his business. Anyway, they know they have good people between a rock and a hard place. But today,
and they're not good people.
No, and they're not good people. And again, I just don't understand where their hearts are. I mean, we already know their brains are mishmash, but how could you have any ounce of compassion and look at shutting down a business that has been operating?
They don't care. None of them care.
They just don't care.
They just don't care.
And you think they care about your health? Forget it. They do not care about
just
your health.
Sleazy, amoral, degenerative.
And they're not even going to have the. And so here what you have is you've got one unelected bureaucrat, one unelected judge, at least judges always get reelected. So one.
Yeah,
so
with a Soviet Union retention system.
Two people who are not accountable to anyone for anything, who have jobs and pensions secure, who are on the verge and, unless, a miracle happens, they're probably going to end up shutting down Vandermeer. I mean, he was saying he can't afford to be shut down much longer. He can't afford to operate under the restrictions that they're putting in. And they're going to say, well, it's not our fault. You know, we just put these restrictions in place. Let me go now to something else that had me angry. And that is the stupid Tri-County Health Department issued a mandatory mask. Let's go over the numbers again. Zero deaths, July 3rd. Zero deaths, July 4th. Zero deaths, July 5th. Five deaths on July 7th. For that, we all have to wear masks. Masks that, what, back when this all started, Dr. Fauci admitted.
Dr. Fauci, our beloved Dr.
Fauci. But even
then,
he admitted, no, you don't need a mask. The masks
don't help.
Effective.
Now they're mandatory. It's one of the two. They either don't matter or they're
mandatory.
Mandatory, right. One of the two.
And I don't for a second buy his saying, well, I just didn't want to rush on it. So what, he's going to let hundreds
so
of thousands
I lied
of
to
people
you.
Die.
So right. I lied to you. I didn't want to rush, so I lied to you and said they weren't effective. But now, believe me, now I'm not lying to you. Okay.
And they're all cowards because they know, they apparently acknowledge that the Tri-County, which is Adams, Arapahoe, and Douglas, it was a 5-4 decision. That masks are mandatory when you're outside. I mean, if you're outside and you can't social distance, if you're walking in and out of a business, if you're in a business. And here again, they make it, frankly, almost impossible to resist. If you're a business owner, right, what do you do with that, right? I mean, you're between a rock and a hard place, too. If you're a business owner, what do you do with the person
You claim your eyesight's not, it's blurry. Yeah. You couldn't tell the difference between a mask and a non-mask.
I mean, what do you do? Comes in, right, and they're not wearing a mask, and you know they're all the, pardon me, Karen Kennelly, but all the Karens out there who will call and report. You're
right.
Other businesses, right?
Right?
You've got that going on, so you can't not comply. They make it impossible to resist. And if you're just a regular, and the health department said, well, you know, cities can opt out. Well, I mean,
unincorporated, the counties can opt out from unincorporated areas.
Right.
So Douglas County will opt out of all of its unincorporated areas, which is a lot in Douglas County.
Right.
Then towns can unincorporate, can exclude. So Glendale is going to, I assume, most likely.
We're going to have to move to Glendale or Douglas County.
And Westminster will be thrilled
We've already got it. Yeah, they've already issued it.
I mean, these people are sick.
What happens if I say, no, I'm not going to wear masks?
You're okay.
So if I say, no, I'm not going to disperse when I'm rioting down at the state capitol,
that's okay.
Right?
That's okay.
If I say, no, I'm not going to do that, not only can they not arrest me, they drop any charges if they do arrest me, but what happens if I say, no, I'm not going to wear your stupid mask?
Well, they could arrest you.
What happens? Exactly. And then, you know, they release the criminals.
Right.
From
well, the jails are free.
Because they're worried
about
COVID.
At least you won't
COVID.
Have to put up bail.
But, you know, yeah, really. They'll say, no, you, man.
You own something. We're going to get you.
It is outrageous. And it's kind of thing you struggle because, you know, I wanted to smack Sean Hannity on Fox the other day.
Oh, yeah. I
want
to smack
him
a lot.
Because he's like doing that stupid, and I don't mean to keep using the stupid, but I do mean to keep using it because that's all it is. It's, you know, oh, we must all wear a mask. No, we must not.
Shut up, Sean.
No, we must not because it is that.
He's gone through a tough time. He's getting divorced and stuff.
Well, so what? I've been through a divorce.
You've been through plenty of those, so you know all about them.
You can maintain your dignity and your integrity. It's hard, but you can. And you don't have to wear a stupid mask.
No, he's pathetic about that. No wonder what's... He's okay. He's great. He's fine. But he's... I was listening to him on the radio, and it was... It was the first half hour or something. Said, that's about 500 eyes. I believe this. I believe that.
Here's the thing, too.
We don't want to hear what you... I get a guest on, have him say something.
Well, then here's our BBS
And we'll get a guest on.
Exactly.
And say something.
Our BBS guy says this is absolutely true. So soon, only women will have to wear masks. It's right.
Yeah.
It's a shooting law rollout, you know? I mean... It's just, it is.
And when it's, you know, I look at polls all the time. I love polls, and they're all biased, and they're all crooked and everything else. But I see nothing positive in a single poll for Trump or the Republicans or any. I mean, they just, the American people, assuming they're rigged, but you know, people just love being bossed around. They love being told what to do. They love to be serfs. I mean, that's why so many serfs existed in Russia for so long. And
a lot of serfs, few revolutions.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I try to be optimistic. And here's
The key.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I was having a conversation with a lot of people, and I have friends who are worried.
She has friends.
Good friends. No,
good friends. Not just friends, but good friends.
Friends who are worried about this and who want to wear masks.
Well, some of them should. I mean,
exactly.
They're on death's door, but...
Some of them should. But I think, though, it works both ways. I think you should not have to wear a mask if you don't want to. And if you're at risk, that's fine. Wear a mask. But the other day, I was at a thing and I had to wear a mask for 2.5 hours. It's horrible, right?
What was that for?
Well, I don't want to...
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I don't want to...
Secret cell, revolutionary cell.
A secret cell revolutionary meeting I was having. No, I don't want to slam the business. Because here's the thing. The business person knew it was dumb. The business person knew I didn't like it. The business person knew that I might not go back, although now we have to wear them everywhere. But the business person said, what do I do? She said, what if someone comes in here, sees this and reports me, and I lose my license?
Yeah.
It's like, I just can't risk that.
All right. But well, now we'll lower the temperature a little. With the low temperature, never gets excited. Michael Tao has joined us. He's a great blogger. Clearpicture.net. He had an article on all coronavirus that he posted at Redstone. He got picked up by Real Clear Politics, I saw a few minutes ago.
Oh,
so
my
it's
gosh.
Sweeping the country. Michael, are you there?
Can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. We don't see you. Yeah, we love to see you.
Was I on Real Clear Politics again?
Yes.
Again. They're always stealing my stuff.
If not for you, I would never know. thanks for letting me know. Good to see you guys.
Are you on Zoom anywhere?
You can unmute your video or unmute your. Do you want to show your video or are you?
I see. Aha. There we go.
You got it. There's a little camera.
There we go.
So we've been talking about this because they just issued out here in Colorado in the area where we live a mandatory mask rule.
We're still under one in Virginia. Hardly anyone is even alleged to have died. The numbers.
No one did in Colorado. No, none in July 3rd. None July 4th. None of the COVID. Well, which is the point of your whole argument. The COVID 19 is spiking. We must run for the hills. Run for the hills.
Well, here's the title of your story because I want you to explain it. So media buries falling COVID-19 death rate to create another panic. Which is absolutely true. If you look around at the headlines, well, it's just like, we're all going to die. So why don't you tell us what you've learned? Thank you.
So for me, it started with I check every day the death tally and I noticed it's going down and down. And then I look Sunday and I'm like, this is the lowest one since March 23rd, since the first week
1752
of lockdown.
Or something.
And
yeah.
It's not an anomaly, all going down. Then I click on, look at the news and I get Face the Nation. Margaret Brennan says, This was the most somber 4th of July in American history. She actually said this, the most somber 4th of July in American history because case numbers are going up. And the thing is, it isn't just that she's leaving out that deaths are going down. That flips the script on the case numbers.
Right.
If deaths are going down, the more case numbers you get, then that shows every day that it's less and less deadly. But the other interest, there's so much misinformation here that you'd have to do like an Encyclopedia Britannica length article to even begin to, the whole Encyclopedia Britannica, get to it. So one thing I found, which is very interesting, is people are gonna maybe have a hard time believing this. There's actually no reason to believe there was a surge of cases even in March and April. So I read this research a guy did and he makes an obvious point. Look, the whole time testing is going up. So if I go in and I say, I tested 10 people today for left-handedness and I found 2, the next day I tested 100 more people for left-handedness and I found 10. The next day I tested 10,000 people for left-handedness and I found 100 more. And then I say left-handedness is going up. You're going to say, well, no, you're just testing more people. So that's obvious. But then what the guy did that was interesting is I can't believe no one thought of it. He said, well, what should be happening if the virus is spreading? Let's look at a real indicator. The ratio of positives to negative tests.
Right.
He says, and I'll send you a link. This is incredible. He says that ought to be going up if the virus is spreading. During the whole time the virus is supposed to be spreading in the United States, that went down.
Wow. So there's not even a surge. So that was a lie, too.
Slightly down. And then it gets even – no, sorry. That's Korea. It gets worse for the United States. It was going down in Korea. United States and Australia, what he found was incredible. It goes slightly down till March 16th, the day of lockdowns, and then it starts going slightly up. The day lockdown started. Maybe do the lockdowns cause COVID-19? No, the statistics are being fudged.
Well, it gets everybody inside. It probably does cause more people
how many people, so you think about these deaths in old age homes and I'm not convinced people are going to think I'm crazy. I think at worst, this is a kind of a flu that isn't as dangerous for people under 50 and is more dangerous for old people. But I think it could be a common cold virus. And people are going to think I'm crazy. I see no evidence that actually, I see nothing to indicate let's say anyone. But you think about it. So you're really old. You know, you got 5-6 years left. They say, you can't see your family. You might die. There's a horrible disease, old man. It's going to kill you. And
that's
we're
right.
going to have the family. They're killing probably these old people with the depression, with the isolation.
You can't see them because the staff is the staff time to beat on them. If you saw those pictures, pounding all these people. He's got to get over the bruises from the last beating before you can see him.
And the thing is, Trump really needs to just repudiate all this. These people need to be. I think jail is way too good for. I mean, to me, it's like frontier justice.
Stick them all in a nursing home.
Stockyard.
Yeah.
Stock it.
Well, let me tell you a story.
And they need to be tried. Like, Fauci needs to be like tried. They need to figure out what the hell he thought he was doing, and they need to try him and like give him the severest possible penalty. He's killed like
millions.
Millions. It's just incredible. So imagine you're a drug addict. The best thing if you have a drug addiction is a routine. That's what gets you out of it. You focus on work.
Right.
Suddenly they say to you, guess what? You don't have your routine anymore. We're shutting down your routine. We're locking you in your home. How many people went back to drugs because they're not even trying to keep track of it? That's what I'd like to see. Instead of a COVID-19 death tally, I'd like to see a Fauci death tally day. Right? Of how many people killed themselves. So you're an American and you're barely making it. You're depressed and you're finally climbing out of it. And then they say to you, we're taking everything away from you. We're taking companionship away from you. We're taking money away from you. We're taking your job away from you. And we're going to scare the crap out of you. How many people killed themselves because of this?
I've got a friend who has asthma. And so she has the doctor has prescribed Xanax for her because they've determined that, and I'm not even joking about this, the asthma is almost entirely stress related due to COVID-19. She was perfectly fine, functioning, absolutely fine, no issues, nothing. And all of a sudden now because this, I'm going to tell you another story that gets.
Well, she can go directly to morphine and to heroin. That'll reduce that asthma altogether.
And people have to realize, like, if they were serious about our well-being, all this stuff would be kept track of and would be kept in the balance. What we get is an inaccurate death tallies where, like, literally in Washington, they found people in the death tally who died of gunshot wounds. Because they had COVID-19.
So the CDC tells
people, tells doctors, you don't even need a test. Just assume
just
it's
just say.
Fine. Just say.
I have a friend who, so she was telling me today, so she has parents in a nursing home, right? Both of them way months ago, the very beginning of this, tested positive for COVID-19. Both of them are asymptomatic. They wouldn't have known if they weren't testing them. This was months ago. Since then, because they're in a nursing home, they test everybody all the time. They've repeatedly turned up negative. Her father fell and hurt himself. They had to take him to the ER in a hospital.
Just a
trip and fall thing. But he had to be treated there. Even though he tested positive, when they admitted him to the hospital, she saw on the paper.
He tested negative.
Thank you. She saw them writing on the paperwork, COVID hospitalization. She said, "What? No, he's here because he fell.
That video with the emergency room physicians where they said, this is total BS. Social distancing is crazy. It's a violation of all the rules of microbiology. So in there, the doctor at one point says, he says, I'm hearing from all over the place, other emergency room physicians, people being pressured to put COVID-19 on. So the reporter, hey, that's interesting. I like the guy's name. The reporter, it was a press conference. He says, that's hearsay. Do you have any? And the guy says, well, no, that's what they're telling me. And he goes, okay, that's just hearsay. So if the reporter cared, he would say, that's interesting. Could you give me the name
of the director?
Yeah.
No interest in determining the truth. And I'm like totally sick. People need to be in prison. They need to, like, a lot of people need to be in prison for what they do. It's not going to happen. I mean, I don't.
Well, when we're talking about one of the things we started the show with, Michael, it's a speedway, right? It's a big open speedway. The Jefferson County Health Department here is trying to shut them down because they violated something. It's not even really clear what they violated regarding social distancing. This is a place that's been in business since 1958. We had another friend who owns a business. It's a restaurant, been around for decades, closed its doors permanently. And it's not just lives, but it's businesses. I mean, they're destroyed.
Yeah. I live in a tiny town. We had one little place, nice country store where you get sandwiches. They're not opening back up. Like when there's the coffee shop used to, the only place you could go to like sort of hang out with people, like literally nearest traffic light to me is like 10 miles away.
Yeah.
go. Now they're only open 9 to 2 and they have limited seating. Like, so that's basically dead.
Right.
Yeah, it's, and you got these people, these like COVIDians, like who remember the religion. Oh yeah. You're selfish. You just want to get a haircut.
Right.
And
right.
I just want to like, go, dude, I want to smash. I mean, I don't even want to say what I want to do. Like, no, it's people killing themselves. It's people like demoralized, depressed, people losing their businesses, people dying. So even the Washington Post had an article. That many of the excess deaths are due to heart disease because people are afraid to go to the hospital.
Right.
Even the Washington Post says that. And you got these people and they're like, their head is just in this. I mean, a lot of it is, I think, these Trump derangement people. It's not even just that they want Trump not to be elected. They think America deserves this for electing Trump. They want to believe like we're being punished by some non-existent, because they don't believe in the God they don't believe in, punishing us for electing Donald
Trump. Non-God punishing us.
But it's like, no, it isn't just getting a haircut. It's like people's like lives are being...
Exactly.
Just people are being killed.
What do you think? We were talking earlier, because it to a certain extent, between a rock and a hard place, like I was saying, if you're a business, now that we have this mandatory mask order again, right? If you're a business, you're stuck, right? You can't risk losing your business license. You finally come out of the stupid lockdown, right? And now, so what do you do? But on the other hand, if you're a business and I walk in there without a mask, what are you going to do? I just kind of wonder if we all, like the protesters, right? There were thousands of them rallying and destroying things in the cops. If just everybody said, no, I'm not going to do
but
that.
But do you get the feeling that people out there are revolting? I know, you know, the small little enclaves in a basement in Westminster are, and way out in the hicks of Virginia. But do you think?
Yeah, I get the feeling it's that there's more people revolting, but it's not. I don't think it's like it's taken over yet. I mean, yeah, that, you know, you need to say when you open your business, this is actually a George Floyd protest. That's what we're doing here. This is not a business opening. And it's like, and Tucker Carlson was exactly correct about this. What we now know is voting doesn't help. What you need to do is you go out and destroy things, and you break things, and you have violence. That's what gets results in America. The mob violence is, and I'm not recommending that like at all.
Right.
But that's not what I'm recommending. That's what our political leaders are tacitly in effect recommending, because that's what they respond to. They respond to violence. They don't care.
Do you think they respond to violence or they respond to left-wing violence?
It's
an interesting, I guess it depends on if there was right-wing violence, the extent to which the military
they crush them.
That's like really. I mean, that's certainly true. I mean, look, Antifa. They say, oh, it's the wing of the Democratic Party. Sorry, Antifa is the wing of the Justice Department, not the Democratic Party. It's the Justice Department. The Justice Department, these Proud Boys, which is a multiracial organization, they keep calling them racist, but they're not racist. They get Antifa attacks and they get into a fight with them. They don't even arrest the Antifa people. The two Proud Boys, 4 years in jail.
Right.
One got 10 years.
Right.
One got 10 years.
And you just
kind of go, the Antifa people are arrested. The whole system is gone crazy.
And you get Barr up there. And I'm sorry, people like believe Barr. I don't believe Barr at all. It's like he knows to say.
Oh, it's
right
going to be Memorial Day. It's going to be Labor Day now. Just wait till Labor Day. Just wait till Labor Day.
Just keep waiting. Any day.
Well, what do you think people should do? I mean, we talk about that. And, you know, because, you know, you do your great columns. We do this on our show. You know, I think a lot of people out there are sort of silently aware that a lot of this is just nonsense and it's a hoax, but then they still put their masks on. I mean, do you think?
What do you think when you see somebody under 50 wearing a mask? I hate them. I just hate them.
I think we need to call them face diapers and not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one thing the left is. That's part of how they win. They control the language.
Yes.
When you control somebody's language, you control how they think.
Think, right.
And that's how they do it. So you've got this word like racism that they're constantly like pushing on us. And it's a way that they disenfranchise conservatives. Like, it doesn't mean what we want it to be. It's not really picking out prejudice, animus. It's a way to disenfranchise conservatives. So they control the language. And I think one thing we need to do is stop using their language. But it's very hard. We have no leaders. Like, we have nobody. Tucker Carlson is exactly right on this stuff. A substantial proportion of Trump's base thinks like, okay, yeah, that George Floyd, what happened to him was really bad, but there's no evidence it was indicated that racism was involved. And there's no evidence that there's some, the statistics show that there isn't some larger problem. hardly any one of our leaders are saying it. They're all bending over backwards to say, oh yeah, systematic racism. Yet somehow all the laws say you are against white people about who you hire and who you like go to school, like who gets federal contracts. But somehow, and you can say kill. If I said right now, I think white people should be killed.
That's okay.
If I said anybody else should be killed, I would be canceled. But somehow the systematic racism is supposed to go the other way. You know, man, again, maybe. But nobody's, maybe they're right, that side. But well, maybe we're right.
Well, here in Denver, 9% of the population is black. It's incredibly, you know, for a big city, incredibly small. The mayor is black. The manager of safety is black. The head of the police department is black. The police officers are about twice as many percentage-wise as in the population. And I own a newspaper, right? And I have all these reporters going, I want to write about all the racism in the Denver Police Department. You go, what racism?
So I'm like Jewish. My dad escaped from Germany during the Holocaust when he was like 17. And I was growing up, I met people who didn't like Jews all the time. It wasn't a big deal. Very few people were hateful. They all had their little, often you talk to them, you talk them out of it, you learn something. They often, to be honest, they had a point given their experiences. And so people were open about it, and somehow things were less tense back then. Somehow, like, I trained with, like, I have no problem even with Louis Farrakhan. Let him say what he wants. I trained in martial arts at a dojo run by black people with like lots of like Nation Amazon people, and these people, you know, I didn't even really know my dad that well. They were my first, these black guys were my first role models, like Jamal Benin, Farid Amin, like people I really admired. They respected Farrakhan. It's like I'm fine with it. Let him do his thing. Like, but let everybody do their thing. Like we used to have an expression a long time ago, sticks and stones may break my bones. And I'm really serious. Nobody says this anymore because
trigger warnings.
Now you have trigger warnings. Like people need to like lighten up. I'm Jewish. I don't care if somebody wants to question the Holocaust. That's their right.
People have a right to be idiots and wrong in this country. Hey, I'm a blonde woman. You know, look at all the blonde jokes. Nobody ever sticks up.
My karate teacher, black guy, Ronnie Johnson, I think about this. His favorite stuff was like these racial jokes with the N word and the K word, every word. And he was, you know, if anybody really messed with him, he'd beat the crap out of him. But like, I think like, what happened to Ronnie nowadays? Like his favorite, every day I come in the dojo to train and he'd be like, hey, Tal, like, did you hear this one about blah, blah, blah? It'll be something. Well, I remember when I was a kid, my friend John and I, we used to get these books, like 101 Jewish jokes, 101 Polish jokes. Now we would be like, we would be sent to jail.
No, you would be, exactly. Like,
and we also had Playboys, which we would hide. Now it'd be the reverse. They're giving us the Playboys.
That's a really good book.
And they're like putting us in jail for like these horrible.
Well, more and more conspiracy oriented. I mean, I think it is not just and I think you're right. It goes a little bit deeper than just like unelect Trump. I think there is a sincere move, and I think the media are co-conspirators in this to essentially take away our freedoms. Like I said, it's like the boiling frog. You raise it up a little bit. First, you're like, you have to wear masks, then you have to do this, then you have to do that. You can't say this word. You have to say that word.
Well, if you ever study the French Revolution, you know, in 1789, it didn't seem that bad. They hated the taxation. The nobles didn't want to get taxed. Middle class was unhappy that they didn't. But generally speaking, they started boiling that water, and you know, in 3 years, 40,000 people went to the guillotine. I mean,
you have to think like so. If someone had told you a year ago that all this COVID-19 stuff would be happening, the riots you might have believed because we saw that in 2016. But the COVID-19 stuff,
right?
People would have said you're crazy. So now we're used to that. So what is it going to be like next year now we say like, oh, it's like totally. And then this thing, it's like where the news is like somebody called somebody a bad word, and it's like on the national.
Oh, exactly. News, like, so there was a big story here in Denver. Some woman was, and I didn't see it, so I don't really know what it is, but became national. Some woman, she was white, was questioning a black guy, and it's gone viral, and I'm sure she's getting tons of hate mail. One good reason.
The one I liked was a Boeing exec. So in 1986.
Oh my God, that was incredible. Yeah, that was.
He said, I don't think women should be in combat. Now, that's probably the majority opinion in 1987, that, you know, that women shouldn't be in combat. They fired and he had to resign because in 87.
He said it in 1987?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's incredible. And look, this I'm sorry, but it's not even an unreasonable position to 2020. Like, it's maybe wrong,
right.
But it's not. You shouldn't be. Again, like, this is not America where ideas are outlawed because they're bad ideas, not because we're going to say, you know, you have that idea. We're going to show you why it's wrong. We're going to just shut you down. And it shows that all you're sending a message is that they're right.
How do you fight that? You know, like I said, because your columns like that are great. You know, we talk about this on our show. We talk about the facts and the statistics, and they don't care, right?
We're a nation of
infants. There's a reason we got thrown off the air.
It's hard to tell what you can possibly do about this. So only children freak out at words. Adults, like, are over the power of words, right? Mm-hmm. You touch me, I'll break your neck. If you say stuff, and if you say it, it just isn't. Again, I'm Jewish. My dad's a Holocaust survivor. It just isn't true that everybody who has prejudice against Jews is hateful. I knew three guys. I actually thought about this carefully. I would say almost most of the people in the 1960s as a kid I met, they had to one degree or another some kind of prejudice against Jews. I knew three guys who were like kind of getting into like hateful stuff. Two of them, by the way, became radical leftist Obama people, partially from talking to me. I liked them better when they worshipped Hitler, to be honest. Like, it was like they were at least interesting at that point. Hardly anybody I knew was hateful. It's just like not true. And again, a lot of people, through talking, they get out of it. This whole thing about we're going to shut you down, we're going to shut you up, we're going to make you lose your job, what they're pushing everybody towards a conflict. The way you avoid a conflict is people say, hey, I have a problem. I think this.
Right, right.
And then other people say, well, no, you're not paying attention to this. You're ignoring this and that and the other thing. And then
they teach kids that on the playground.
Well,
right?
Julie and I always have this argument. Julie will say, well, I'm not a racist. I said, you've lost the minute you say I'm not something.
Yes.
Once you say I am not a racist, it's like saying Nixon saying I'm not a crook.
I think we should talk about animus against blacks. Animus against whites, animus against Jews, prejudice. I think this word racism is like not a good word. It's like conservatives, especially like the Democrats are the real racist crowd, right? Like this is really a winning strategy because the Democrats are really going, the liberals are really going, wow, we didn't know that Lincoln was a Republican. You just totally changed your mind. We never knew that before. We have no response to that.
But he's a racist too now.
The word also functions as to, it wipes out. So what it does is it makes somebody who has like minor prejudices. And again, let's use anti-Semitism because I'm Jewish. Nobody can tell me what to say about that, right? That word does is it conflates, it turns somebody who has like minor prejudices that are no big deal, turns them into Hitler.
It washes away
like all differences and it makes everybody into a hater no matter what. People need to like lighten up. But
everybody hates everybody. They went to a prep school, right? You know, the Italian kids hated the Greek kids who hated the WASP kids and the black kids hated those two. And the people from Upper Montclair hated the people from Montclair. And everybody hated everybody.
That you're going to wipe out prejudice by like
that's human beings. And they all hate everybody.
Irrational beliefs, you wipe them out with like sunlight, you know, air and things.
Well, here's where it gets worse. So we have a 9-year-old, right? For people who don't know, we have a 9-year-old boy and he's, you know, he's had friends who were black. He's had nannies who were black. He's had schoolmates who were black, right? Never, ever even mentioned it, right? Never even mentioned it, which to me is what it should be. It was colorblind, basically, right? They were just his friends. The other day, he said to me, hey, you know what? I have some black friends. And he started listing all these kids. So now all of a sudden, this 9-year-old who before was at a place where you'd think we'd want to be, where he just called them his friends, now he is, without anybody forcing him to do this, categorizing his friends based on their color. And I'm like, that's the kind of thing, and I'm sure if he's doing it, other kids are too.
We've gone so far backward, though.
Before, they were just friends, right? Now they're this kind of friend or that kind of friend.
But the fact is, in the 80s, 70s, people were getting along more. People are getting along much worse, much more Rachel Tanzi.
I mean, Michael, do you like people who are left-handed? Are you left-handed?
No, I'm right-handed.
gets on the T on the wrong side. I mean, you're left-handed.
Kids are they're brutal. I mean,
yeah.
Right.
But yeah, but it's like, again, we're a nation, we become a nation of infants. And the other problem, I was a university professor for a while. The only skills students are learning are identifying racist instances. Right. So I used a course on War and Peace. And the first session, I have to stop everybody from giving me examples of racism because it's not what the book is about.
You have to, and
examples of like hidden homosexuality. They're trained, that's the only thing they learn how to do. So that's why I think, you know, you get the Republicans, the RNC, it's like, you want to smack these people. So I'm looking at the tweets. They're making out that Biden's support of the 94 crime bill makes him a racist during a time of rioting. Now, Biden could respond, the 94 crime bill didn't increase the crack penalties. That was Reagan, actually, who did that, and the Republicans supported it. That was an earlier bill. But why would he? The Republicans are making him look hard on crime. They're making him look like a law and order candidate. Like, why would he bother? Does anybody, these boomer Republicans, and that's like what it is, it's this boomer, and I'm a low-age boomer. But I'm
low boomer Republican.
Boomer mentality where it's like, yeah, it may make you feel good to say Biden is a KKK, Democrats racist, but you're not changing, nobody's going to vote Republican. You're not changing any Democrat, any liberal, any bi person's mind with this stuff. They're going to say their party switched in the 1960s. And then you have this argument. And then I don't care about how it turns out. You're not convincing them that you're right.
We've got our guy in the court. Just hang on for a second, Michael. But I want to bring Chris Doty up on the phone. He is our live courtroom reporter from Jefferson County, where the battle is going on for a Bandamere to be able to
stay open.
Hey, Chris, thank you for calling in. What's the latest there? Our live reporter on the ground.
Good afternoon, Chuck and Julie. How are you?
Hey, good, Chris.
What's going on?
Well, we're in recess at this point. The Jefferson County attorney presented their case this morning up through the lunch break and resumed until about 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. At the conclusion of that, Randy Corper made a motion for a directed verdict. They're in the process of doing that and taking another 10 or 15 minutes recess on an opportunity for Mr. Corcoran to present some additional legal argument. In other words, reciting the law that would be applicable to have it dismissed at this point. It's been not terribly contentious back and forth. Most of the testimony and the sole testimony so far that the county has presented was Dr. or Director Johnson with the Health Department of Jefferson County, and then a Mr. Reeder who was in the facility that is an employee of Jefferson County Health. He never announced himself. Uh-huh. He never made suggestion. He made observations.
He was a spy. In other words,
spy.
As a county official holding an official position, he didn't make any corrections of the bad behavior. Didn't contact the Bandamere on those levels.
Must not so be how very do you, worried I, about
the,
it.
The only person is Judge Russell. But how do you think it's going?
You know, at this point, I think Randy stands a 50-50 chance of getting it directed a verdict at this point. I think that's going to be up to the discretion of the judge.
You almost never get directed verdicts.
Yeah, you don't get those very much. Well, let me ask you this.
You're right.
Channel 7 was reporting that they apparently talked to Mr. Bandamere during a break and said, you know, these restrictions that they want us to operate under, number one, they're too vague. We don't even understand what they mean, so how can we not violate them? And number two, if we go with the strict interpretation, we'd have to close. I mean, have you guys heard about that at all? Or what's? Well, I know he's there.
He hasn't been able to put his case on yet. So.
Right. But he's talking to people.
No, they haven't presented their case. John is holding up well. When we spoke with him this morning, he held two different prayer sessions, one out in the east parking lot and one right at the door of the facility. He's reluctant. He's a reluctant warrior. He doesn't want, at 80-some years old and after 62 years of operating this facility, to be having this battle. Unfortunately, it's been thrust upon him.
He
might be the warrior. He might be the warrior for our freedoms.
Patriotism,
our rights, our constitutional rights. Randy wasn't allowed to argue anything other than pertinent issues. He couldn't state issues that would require the state's attorney general to be present.
Oh, like the Constitution isn't. So the Constitution isn't pertinent, apparently, in Jefferson County then, right? Yeah. It's like, oh,
well, it is, but in this case, the judge wants to restrict it to the case as it exists, and that's whether or not there has been a violation of Jefferson County health orders and agreements that the Bandemirs, the health department, quite frankly, I think Mr. Johnson, who's 30-some years in his position up until this point, has done a fabulous job. He was probably appointed by a Republican stronghold back in 30 years ago in Jefferson County. So I don't want to fault the health department, Mr. Reed.
We do. I can tell you our callers do. We do.
But okay, but I know where you're coming
from. I understand that, but you know, we don't know where it's going to go from here. It's a coin toss. It really is.
All right. So, well, listen, I'll let you get back in there to listen. I know when I was a reporter, I always hated it when you had to go out and do the live shots. You're like, I don't know. They're deciding something right now, and I can't talk because I'm out here talking to you. So we'll let you go back in. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Chris Doty. Okay, we can bring back up Michael. Well, you know, Michael,
I wanted to say something. Julie said that about, you know, the extent to which this is like some kind of a plan. You do have to think all of the stuff about the fake DNC hack, about General Flynn, it's all been buried by one huge media nothing burger after another. So first we had this impeachment that had no chance of succeeding about nothing. It's not even clear what they're impeaching him on. That succeeded in taking all the focus off CrowdStrike and the DNC hack. Suddenly, that goes away, the impeachment goes away, and immediately we have COVID-19, we have another big news story that's sucking up all the oxygen. And that starts to fade away, then we get George Floyd. That starts to fade away, then we get when COVID-19 is clearly, never that big of a threat to begin with, but clearly it's no threat anymore, then we get that back. And you have to wonder, so in January we found out that there was no evidence, they have no evidence that the DNC was hacked.
Right.
We found out that General Flynn was like totally set up by the Obama administration, and Obama and Joe Biden were involved in it. Right.
Right.
And if you start putting all this together, a huge picture of one of the most biggest scandals in American history comes up, and nobody knows about it because we're arguing about masks and we're arguing about.
Huh? But even if they had a Ronald McDonald's opening in Oakland or something, they're not going to report Flynn. They're not going to report. Then I won't cover the indictment. So they'll indict people and it'll be on page 10.
But even if they don't cover it, the information is going to get out more if, like, so you and I and people like us, a lot of our time gets taken up. This is like another problem. If they set the agenda.
Even when
we're right, which we obviously always believe we are now, but even the extent that we're right, we lose because it's their agenda. We talk about what they want to talk about. So we sit there and go, aha, they made a bad argument. They're here. look at this. And they win. They get what they want.
Well, you know, one of the things in politics that I've told Julie, you know, you're either on offense or you're on defense. And we're always on defense.
Yeah,
always on
it
defense.
It doesn't matter if you're playing really good defense, but you have no offense.
Right.
It's not scoring any goals, and that's the position we're in.
Yeah.
And they do gradually, everything moves more leftward. The things that, like, gay marriage, like 20 years ago, people would have been like, gay marriage? What does that mean? Like, they wouldn't even have understood.
Well, how long would it be if you said, well, if you're transgender, you're not a biological woman. You'd think that would not be a contentious statement.
There are two sexes. Imagine. So 20 years ago, two people, you know, you would say, do you realize 20 years from now, the statement that there are two sexes is going to be contentious and you can get fired from your job?
From the Denver Post, right? Yeah.
So there are people who like think we're winning are deluding themselves. Don't even understand the extent to which they themselves have become leftists. That's the only reason they think we're winning is because they've been converted to leftists and they think like they don't realize how bad it's gotten. They decide what we talk about.
I had a friend the other day who said something, you know, is about this pedophile, right? And he said, well, you know, not there's anything wrong about that. And he kind of, well, what do you mean?
Who said that?
Jeffrey Epstein's a nice guy. Hey, listen, Michael, we've run out of time.
Oh, okay.
You're at redstate@clearerpicture.net.
And everywhere
else. Yeah, redstate.com. I'm a regular columnist. I write slowly, though. So.
All right,
thanks, guys.
All right, take care, Michael. Take care.
Thank you. Want to talk about synergetics?
Yeah, let's talk about synergetics and refocusing your life and worrying about your health. That's all we talk about these days is your health and COVID-19. We all know that the healthier you are, the less likely COVID-19 will have any effect on you. And so if you go to synergetics, that's what it's all about, getting you up to the whatever you can be, the best you can be. Let's figure out, Judy McCallum will figure out, hey, you're great in these areas, but in these areas, you could use some boosting. You should hormone boosting, or you could use vitamins, or you could use some exercise, or you could use whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And they'll keep on every vital sign you have, and you'll know all the things where you're weaker and stronger, and you'll make the weaker ones much stronger and the stronger ones the strongest they can be. So you want to give her a call, free consultation, find out all about it. Just give Julia a call, 720-387-3681 or Synergenics, C-N-E-G-N-I-C-S. And tell them Chuck and Julie sent you because we'd like to know, her to know that we've helped you out.
All right. And thank you to the folks at ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Thank you to everybody joining us on Zoom, everybody listening. You can catch all of the podcasts at ChuckandJulie.com. Love to have you go to YouTube, our YouTube channel. The link is there from ChuckandJulie.com. If you go, be sure, as they say, as the gamers say, be sure to like us and subscribe. We appreciate that.
Every one of those is golden to us.
That's right. And thank you to the folks at BBS. And we will see you on Party Friday.
Party Friday. Chuck and Julie. Take care.